I think it's true to say that everyone prays at some point in their life, whether it's a crisis and we don't know where else to go, or whether it's part of a daily pattern to maintain our relationship with God. Everybody prays. And God answers many of those prayers in ordinary and in extraordinary ways. But what when he doesn't? What when we ask him for something that is good, something that is significant, and something that we believe is in his will? What when God doesn't answer prayer? Our pray series before Easter focused on the wonder of prayer. We looked at the peace of centering ourselves in Jesus. We looked at the joy of adoring him. We looked at the blessings of asking him for our daily bread and the world-shaking, history-making power of intercessory prayers for his kingdom to come. But sometimes prayer disappoints us. And when it does, that disappointment runs deep. Sometimes it is so deep that we struggle to trust God enough to pray in faith and with sincerity, because at the back of our minds, we've got that nagging question, why? And speaking on this subject this morning is really challenging, because I know some of your stories. You experienced something terrible and God didn't step in. You've asked him for healing for a loved one and yet they still died. You're crying out for a breakthrough. You're crying out for a change. You've asked God to deliver you from a disability and he hasn't stepped in. You're looking for answers. And these aren't necessarily for ourselves, but these prayers may be for someone we love. And our prayer is unanswered and it hurts. And it's compounded by the fact that for every unanswered prayer, there will be somebody else for whom God stepped in. There's always a story where he did for someone else what we're asking him to do for us. And it's tough when we talk to God and he goes silent on us. And so we must turn to the Bible, and it's here we discover maybe that the Bible is more honest about unanswered prayer than we are in the church. We don't like to talk about it, but thankfully the Bible writers do. Job says, "I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me." And Jeremiah says, "You've covered yourself with a cloud so no prayer can get through." And in Hebrews we read that Enoch and Noah and Abraham were still living in faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. And Jesus himself prayed prayers that weren't answered. In the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed, "Take this cup from me," but God didn't. On the cross he cries out in the throes of abandonment, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And God doesn't answer. And in John's Gospel, Jesus prayed for unity amongst all believers. And 2,000 years on, we are still waiting. That is an unanswered prayer. The Bible honestly addresses the simple fact that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. And in his book Pray, Pete Gregg suggests that the most unanswered prayers can be attributed either to God's world, or God's war, or God's will. So looking at that first one, at God's world, we recognise that God has established certain governing principles which make the world work best for most people in most places, most of the time. So on Sunday when I was cooking lunch and a saucepan handle got hot and I picked up the handle and I burnt my hand, God didn't intervene. Of course God didn't want me to suffer and have to sit through my Sunday lunch with my hand in a bowl of iced water. He loves me, but he wasn't going to break the laws of science just so that I wouldn't burn myself. Whilst God did break the laws of chemistry when he turned water into wine, and the laws of gravity when he walked on water, and the second law of thermodynamics when he rose from the dead, these occasions are very rare. Generally, The laws which God designed to make the world best for most people, in most places, most of the time, apply. And of course, sometimes our prayers are a bit foolish or even trivial. You know, we might pray for saints to win their next game, whenever that might be. But we know that there will be supporters of the opposing team who are praying for exactly the opposite. Some things just have to take their natural course, and our prayer probably won't influence the outcome. We live in God's world under the laws which God designed to make the world work best for most people, in most places, most of the time. But in this world that God has designed, God's war rages around us. Peter says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And so, knowing this, Jesus instructs us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one." The Bible suggests that falling into temptation might influence our prayers. After King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and he sent her husband to the war and at the front line where he knew he would die, the son which came out of that relationship became poorly. And we read in Samuel that David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted, he spent nights lying on sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. I wouldn't eat anything. The end of the story is that on the seventh day, the child died. Sometimes our behaviour can influence God's response to our prayers. But living in a battle zone means that also we might be a direct target, and other times our lives become collateral damage. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Every square inch, every split second is claimed and counterclaimed by Satan." And so we're called to engage in God's war, exercising the spiritual authority we've been given by God. But for this, we need to know the enemy. We need to know our authority, and we need to know how to fight. And as we look around our world, I don't think it's difficult for us to know the enemy. But in terms of our authority, Paul declares this of Jesus in Ephesians: God raised him from death and set him on the throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. And the power that Jesus has is available to us. But taking spiritual authority is something that needs to be learnt. We need to discern what the evil one is doing. We need to ask God what he wants to show us. And then we're better placed to pray. And wisdom often comes when we pray together. A few years ago, our church was praying for an unbelieving man to be healed from cancer. As we prayed, I had a picture of a tombstone plaque and the sense that the enemy was going to be robbed of this man's death. And so I shared this picture with some of the elders of the church because I wasn't sure if it was right to share it with his Christian wife. And I was so glad that they advised me to hold fire. Whilst the picture I believe was from God, my understanding was flawed. The man died, but not before he committed his life to Jesus. The enemy did not get him, but his healing was found in heaven and not here on earth. We're called to be discerning when we engage in God's war. A third area that Pete Gregg picks up is this area of God's will. Sometimes prayers aren't answered because they're not aligned to his will. And these are the prayers that I think often hit us the hardest. And yet, even in these circumstances, Jesus invites us to trust in his wisdom, to trust in his power and his love. But it's when we don't understand, the hardest and the most powerful prayer we can pray is that one that Jesus prayed: "Not my will, but your will be done. It must have been agonising for Jesus to give over control to God for his life. And it is for us too. Pete Gregg describes this as a darker kind of trust. And by that, he means the kind of trust that says we will surrender to the will of God, even when it makes no sense, and even when it's going to hurt us deeply. We get the fact that unanswered prayer might trace back to being contradictory to the way God has designed the world, or the fact that he's respecting our free will. We get the fact that unanswered prayer might trace back to a fault in the one who's praying. And we get the fact that unanswered prayer might trace back to the world that we live in, and it's a fallen one, and enemy forces are at work. But when we're facing events that have brought us to our knees and we are crying out of that place of despair to God, let this cup pass from me. Embracing God's will is incredibly hard. With hindsight, we understand why God didn't answer Jesus's prayer. Somebody called P.T. Forsyth has said, "We shall come one day to a heaven where we will gratefully know that God's greatest refusals were sometimes the truest answers to our truest prayers." But it is tough to embrace that. And how can we live well when it seems that the prayer we're answering that seems good to us isn't God's will? How can we live well when God goes silent on us? I want to make one or two practical suggestions, and the first is this: we choose to be vulnerable with our friends. Jesus needed his friends around him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we do too. Jesus didn't put on a brave face or pretend it was okay. He didn't pluck Bible verses out of the air as sticky plaster over his despair. Instead, he included his friends in his distress, and he asked them to watch over him in prayer. He drew them in, and Jesus therefore encourages us not to hide. Secondly, Jesus then pushed into prayer. As it became more difficult, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Matthew describes Jesus as falling with his face to the ground as he prayed. Jesus' friends were essential, but they were insufficient. And so it is for us. We need our friends, but we need to lean into Jesus more. And notice the language that Jesus used when he prayed, "Abba, Father." In Jesus' darkest hour, he held on to God's love. And maybe this is one of the hardest things for us to do. Often our instinct is to pull away when we're desperate and God isn't responding to us. But this is when we need his love more than ever, and we come to discover that we can trust what we can't understand. Leaning into Jesus gives us courage to hold out for God's power in our situation. And even if it doesn't come, we may even find that we can live well with the mystery of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer can cause us to turn away from God. Our relationship with him is over because he didn't answer our prayer. And for some of us, we continue to follow him, but we do so with a limp. Something gets changed in our relationship because God didn't show up when we asked him to. But it doesn't have to have that effect. Unanswered prayer can be overcome, as the Apostle Paul discovered. As a converted Jew, his overriding prayer was that his fellow Jews would also come to faith in Jesus. But as he journeyed from region to region, the Jews rejected Jesus and Paul's message over and over again. And instead of resigning himself to God's decision, he prayed more. And in every new town he visited, he went to the synagogue first. He persevered despite setbacks. He persevered despite persecution. And he persevered despite ongoing unanswered prayer. As Paul wearied of waiting, in the middle of his letter to the church in Rome, he breaks down. He moves from celebrating the power of Jesus' love to expressing his grief and his sorrow and his anguish. pouring out his heart to God, he writes, "It may sound extreme, but I wish that I were lost, cursed, and totally separated from the anointed, if that would change the eternal destination of my brothers and sisters, my flesh, and my countrymen." And then Paul gets a flash of understanding into the mystery of God. Let's go over to Vicky, and she's going to read to us what comes next.
God's riches are very great, and his wisdom and knowledge have no end. No one can explain the things God decides or understand his ways. As the scripture says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, or been able to give him advice? No one has ever given God anything that he must pay back. Yes, God made all things, and everything continues through him and for him. To him be the glory forever. Amen."
Thanks, Vicky. Unanswered prayer drew Paul into a new depth of understanding and relationship with God, which we can discover too. There is a profound difference between our perspective and God's. There's no simple formula we can apply to prayer, and there's no guarantee that God will do the things that we ask him to do or in the way that we ask. But we can discover a depth of understanding to his mystery. One of my Lent devotions last week, asked this question: where do the truths we live by come from? Are they rooted in the world? Are they rooted in selfish pursuits? Are they rooted in the gospel according to friends, a spouse, parents, or colleagues? Or are they rooted in the gospel and Christ? Jesus was so rooted in his Father that he trusted his Father would see him through. We see a man in Jesus who trusted that God would overcome the darkness of his death, and of course his Father did. And when we face the darkness of unanswered prayer, Jesus invites us to lean on the truth of the gospel, to trust in him, and to be drawn into a new depth of relationship and a new experience of the mystery of God.